KDW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. In the Israel-Hamas war, Israeli forces continue to comb through Gaza's largest hospital, finding evidence and bodies linked to Hamas terrorists.
We found a vehicle filled with ammunition, RPGs, AK-47s. We see handcuffs, knives, preparation for taking hostages from Israel.
That's one Israeli soldier's account. Israeli and American sources telling ABC News a hostage release deal is looking less likely. No government shutdown for now. President Biden signing a short-term spending bill late last night. No resignation from New York Congressman George Santos, despite a damning Congressional Ethics Committee report that says he used his campaign coffers to buy designer goods, get Botox treatments, and make payments to an OnlyFans account. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Research shows even more people would be working in Wisconsin if it weren't for childcare challenges.
Difficulty in finding childcare translated into about 60,000 workers, potential workers, that weren't in the workforce because of that.
Dennis Winters is the chief economist for the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Scientists at the University of Wisconsin in Madison find the donated brains of men who were veterans in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were 26% times more likely to show signs of Alzheimer's disease than men who did not serve in the military. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW 97.9, the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. A party host and two teens are being sued for their part in a bonfire explosion last fall. Several teenagers suffered burns after a drum of fuel was poured onto a fire by two teens, causing the explosion. The incident took place in the town of Maple Grove in Shawnee County last October. Homeowner Alan Aaron and the two teens were named in the suit. Two Northeast Wisconsin businesses each received an award for recycling excellence. Town of Calumet in Fond du Lac and the Richardson Retail Store in Sheboygan were recognized by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources in honor of America Recycles Day. The Wisconsin DNR honors businesses that reduce waste through partnerships, community engagement, and implementing systems and equipment to achieve and promote recycling goals. For more information on recycling in Wisconsin, please visit the Wisconsin DNR webpage. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9, the talk of Green Bay News.
Mino and the Mayor.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She walks in this morning, John's like, yeah, I told you look like somebody. I've been thinking about you. That's a little weird, John.
I didn't put it that way, Jim. No, we said she reminds me of Aunt Becky, Lori Loughlin from Full House.
Right.
Bailey, WKRP.
I don't.
Yes, completely. Yes.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
College hoops tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Head coach Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team will be at home tonight in the Kohl Center, taking on a team from Pennsylvania, Robert Morris University. The Badgers now 1-2 for the season after losses to Tennessee and the other night at Providence. Also in Madison, Camp Randall busy today with the final WIAA State Football Championships, Divisions 1, 2, and 3, competing for the state tournament trophy. NFL, Packers host the Chargers on Sunday, the kickoff at noon. Green Bay will be wearing those green jerseys with gold numbers from the 1950s that have been so popular the past 3 years. After a slow start, Packers running back A.J. Dillon seems to be back to his old self, Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I think he's done a much better job in terms of running with better pad level, finishing forward, breaking tackles. Certainly, I think that's going to be a big key in this game. I think, you know, you look at the Chargers.
That's the Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies and calm today with a high of 44. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 30 tonight. Clear skies and quiet. Ample sunshine expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 51. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 31.
Mino and the Mayor.
Jim Vandenhoevel, our very special guest, Vietnam vet. Again, you had to be saying to yourself, I am not on the farm in freedom anymore.
You know, it was scary for a while, but then you realize, and we all realize in our platoon, we kind of laugh about it because you had to keep your sanity, and that was one of the ways you did it. You almost got taken out today, and if you didn't do that, you wouldn't be able to stay focused on your job.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday, and as always, it's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back.
We're both back.
Yeah.
And let me do this. I forgot. Hey, Calvin, how you doing, man?
I am doing well. Like you said, well, it is a welcome back for you.
Well, you know, I have to say, man, congratulations to my fill-in host, Stu. Stu did a magnificent job of hosting the last few days. And all I could think about, Sandy, is I'd better not miss any more days. So he was really great. I'm sure you guys enjoyed him. But, you know, back to the old salt mines. And so we have a special guest in the studio, colleague Don Brown. What's it called? What's your show called on Saturdays?
This Week in Waukesha.
This Week in Waukesha has a special announcement he wants to make.
Hey, thanks for having me, Earl. I'll be very brief because I know you and Sandy, to borrow from our good friend James Santel of Morning Cannolis, you two have an ambitious but achievable agenda, so I want to be respectful of that. But hey,
that's his verbiage.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. You have to see, he's got stacks and stacks of notes. So he's got a lot of content. So, but speaking of content, my show happens before James Santel. It's normally started at 8, but starting next Saturday, not tomorrow, but next Saturday, Small Business Saturday, This Week in Waukesha will move to a two-hour format. And that inaugural episode will be great because we're celebrating small businesses in Waukesha. We're going to have a few small business owners either appearing in person or calling in to talk about specials they have, as well as all the wonderful things they have year-round. And I encourage your listeners to check us out because, you know, Waukesha is another great Wisconsin city. It's very unique. It's the oldest university city here, thanks to our friends at Carroll University. It's Guitar Town USA. There's so much going on in this vibrant community that a one-hour show just doesn't do it enough justice. So I'm really grateful to Civic Media and for the opportunity to talk about more issues affecting life here in Waukesha. And these issues that also resonate with the rest of us around the state. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to come on and promote that. And also gives an opportunity for Waukesha residents and those who love Waukesha to call in on our number, 844-967-2789. I know Merle's got that memorized. So I encourage your calls. And then tomorrow is a kind of a, what should we say, preamble or a good warm-up. We're going to have Chief Daniel Thompson from Waukesha Police Department, his first appearance on the show tomorrow. That starts at 8. But again, starting Small Business Saturday, the 25th, This Week in Waukesha will be a two-hour show, 7 to 9, and we look forward to seeing everybody there.
Sandy, you know a little bit about Waukesha. You know your way around.
Well, Waukesha is a you know, actually lots of the small towns around, you know, of Wisconsin are old, go date way back. So, you know, Waukesha is one of the oldest, and it, you know, Carroll started, I think, before statehood in 1842.
That's right. Yep.
But, I think most of the listeners who live in this, in some of the smaller communities around the state are living in places that date way back. And it's interesting, the heritage that you can feel when mm-hmm. you're in such a small town. It's
yeah.
it's much different than, you know, you can go around Milwaukee and see the old buildings, but right. you don't have a sense of oldness like you do when you go down Main Street in Amory or someplace, and you can yeah. look over and that building was 1910 and that one was 1895. And
in Main Street and Waukesha downtown, there's so much great architecture, very historic, and it's a great little walking tour of Wisconsin just right here in our downtown.
Well, Waukesha is not a small town by any stretch of the imagination.
70,000 people, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like our mayor, Sean Riley, always says is he hates when people refer to Waukesha as another suburb because it's not. It's a very unique university city and so much history. Birthplace of the forward pass in football. I don't know if you guys knew that.
And the electric guitar. Modern electric guitar.
Exactly, yeah.
So, but, you know, the small towns, smaller cities, but they're cities, you know, and Green Bay and Bayfield and all these places that are around the state that we talk to are cities onto themselves. They all revolved around some industries going way back, and their heritage is closely tied to the Wisconsin heritage. So I think the roots of Wisconsin lie really in these smaller cities. That's the place where you can really get a sense of the heritage.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's great that civic media continues to grow because there's so many other great programs sharing this information and this rich history and a lot of the great goings on in these different communities statewide.
You know, it just, as you guys are talking about that, and, you know, as we are now connected to many other cities in the state, you know, I would say that our phone lines are always open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. And Sandy, you know, we certainly would open the phone lines to people who are willing to call in and talk a little bit about their cities, their towns.
Absolutely.
What makes them special.
And what's currently ticking in their town that keeps their attention. You know, we talk a lot about national stuff, but there's... most of the stuff that's national has local impacts, you know, and working couples, this median family that I like to talk about resides in all these towns and have the same kind of struggles that we talk about.
So our phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. You can do a start now and tell us a little bit about your town, what you like about it, and, you know, the changes that have occurred. Well, we got a lot we're going to talk about, but we certainly can find a few minutes to and encourage you to call and tell us a little bit about the history of your town. Because, you know, depending on where you live, we already got
the sirens going here in downtown, going down Wisconsin Avenue.
Land from Oconomowoc, and Oconomowoc's not a small town, but... Huh? Good morning to you, Lynn. How you doing? Thank you very much.
Milwaukee. And the east side of Milwaukee. And I was a student at the university for a long time and spent many hours in the historic Milwaukee Teacher College buildings.
Uh-huh.
And
what used to be, what is now UWM, huh?
I took the long route.
Nothing wrong with extra innings.
16-year program. I'm one of those students that after 130 credits, now you pay master's prices. But we always walk through Shorewood and Milwaukee's east side. We walk down to the Downer, which is no longer... And to the Oriental Theater, we'd ride our bikes through Milwaukee on Sunday morning when things were quiet and rode down to the Third Ward. We were runners, so we ran along Lincoln Memorial Drive and Prospect Avenue. So you're missing the historic nature of Milwaukee. Yeah. Unfortunately, I also worked for the Department of City Development, and I know we lost a lot of landmarks during the redevelopment phase of Milwaukee.
Sandy,
I didn't mean to diminish the nature of that. Yeah, Milwaukee's a wonderful, got wonderful old streets and old buildings, and actually did a much better job of saving old buildings than many other cities, in spite of the fact that I'm not sure we did it purposefully. It might have been the slowness of the economic development in the city. But Milwaukee's remarkable. You travel around the country and you realize that Milwaukee is held on to much more of its old vitality.
And I would do one better and say that Milwaukee, in many ways, is a universe of small towns when you look at some of those unique neighborhoods and the character and the history. And also, too, because I work in nonprofits, I learned recently that Milwaukee's giving, its philanthropy, the foundations and the corporate donors and the individuals, our amount of giving is competitive with the biggest cities in America, New York, Chicago, L.A., and that is a huge I think a badge of honor for a city our size.
Well, one thing, just to talk about history, though, one of the reasons we have these neighborhoods was the streetcar system, and I can admit to being old enough so that in my youngest years I traveled on the streetcar, and the streetcar is what created the commercial corridors in Milwaukee, and it also created the neighborhoods because it was the terminus point at various places that created. And the growth of Milwaukee grew along the streetcar tracks. So, you know, there's great history, but the history is clear in Milwaukee. I'm just saying that in smaller towns, people are in the history no matter where they live because it's right there.
Well, you know, when especially a city slicker like myself, who hasn't had an opportunity to get around to these smaller towns and places in the state of Wisconsin.
We're going to do that, Earl.
Yeah, you and I have talked about it. We're clearly going to do that. We're going to visit each radio station that we at Civic Media have and do a live show from those places across the state.
That sounds like fun. I'm jealous.
Yeah, and so, but Sandy, so I don't know what, you know, let's say Baraboo. So Baraboo is a place that... What did they have? Paper mills? I mean, what was the
circus?
Well, they had the circus, actually. You know,
I know about the circus, but you can't.
Well, and they have, you know, there were paper mills in the vicinity of Baraboo. I'm trying to think there is a munitions plant right there at Baraboo, and I can't tell you what the turn of the last century industry was in Baraboo, but I can assure you that there was
right,
and that all of the towns that we talk about and cities in Wisconsin had active industry ongoing in 1910, you know, and that the town's origins date back to that period.
Yeah. Here's a little nugget on Baraboo that's current. There's a coffee house there in downtown. I forget the name, but they have the best coffee, and you can get it either in the beans or ground. And it's called Love Potion Number 9. So when you guys go to Baraboo, pick up a couple bags. I'll give you some money of Love Potion Number 9. Best coffee.
Yeah, keep that one. Keep that under your hat.
Yeah, so best kept secret in Wisconsin.
What do you want to say, man, in closing?
Quickly. In closing, I just, you know, I want to thank Civic Media again for the opportunity to deliver Waukesha Life in a two-hour platform and to engage more callers and listeners and so much great things to share. And I encourage everybody, no matter where you are in the state, to get the Civic Media app and tune in to WAUK Saturday morning, the 25th, Small Business Saturday from 7 to 9. And also support your local small businesses in your communities. But we invite you to come on and to call in. And again, thank you for this opportunity this morning, Earl and Sandy.
No problem, Don. They couldn't have picked a better guy and a better homer than Don Brown.
Thank you so much. All right.
We'll be right back.
Have a great weekend and happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and I want to thank Don Brown. And you guys should, I mean, Don's a great guy. He just really is, and he's the perfect guy for the position that he's in. And so I'm really happy for him. Sandy, I have to, we haven't talked about this for a while. Zelensky's number two visits D.C. as U.S. warns Ukraine funds running dry.
Yeah.
They're about to pull the plug.
Well, this was the problem with essentially the way we got into this without an understanding, consensus understanding in Washington about what our policy to Ukraine was. It was always an undercurrent, lots of money flowing into Washington from Ukrainian lobbyists and others. And so we developed a stake in Ukraine without having it be a bipartisan agreed upon stake. And then we essentially provided support to Ukraine in a nature that permitted them to put their back up against the wall and get into a war with Russia. And so now we have discord. And this is the worst possible thing for the reliability of the United States as far as it being an ally or being dependable in the world, because we didn't get into it on the right basis, we now have the potential that we might actually leave Ukraine out there to hanging out to dry, or at least act in such a manner that pushes them severely in the direction of needing to do something that's compromising their interest. And, you know, if we hadn't backed them, they would have negotiated something and wouldn't have lost hundreds of thousands of people. But now they have. And so, you know, we really are pregnant in this situation, and it really will be damaging to U.S. The U.S. reputation internationally for us to pull the plug. So this is the problem with backing into cactuses.
You know, Sandy, before I remember having the conversation with you on these airways, before this even got to the point where Russia invaded Ukraine, and you constantly were saying, what is our role in it? What are we going to do?
What is our real interest? Right. Do we have a real strategic critical interest or not?
Well, it turns out we didn't.
Well, apparently a lot of people in Washington, including legislators, think we don't, because they're talking about pulling out. And you don't pull out of something that's actually critically important to your national security. And so, you know, that's the problem. You know, you have to evaluate things realistically. You can't get swept up in emotional arguments or ideological arguments if they don't reflect real critical interests.
Now, you use the verbiage, Sandy, our natural interests and our national interests, okay, with this. What is our national interest in Ukraine? Is there such a thing?
Well, you know, there are places in the world where we do have a critical national interest. It's critically important to us that those places have their independence protected, that they maintain an alliance with the United States. The main argument that people have made about Ukraine is that it's a sovereign nation, okay, and that's, and some would describe it as a sovereign democracy. The level of democracy that existed in Ukraine in the last decade is arguable, okay, because it clearly has an oligarchical aspect to the whole environment there in Ukraine, and the extent to which that constitutes then a democracy of the sort we champion is questionable. But the two arguments that are made for it is that it's a sovereign nation and that it's a democratic nation, and we therefore have to protect it. We have not, however, protected nations like that from incursion
in other parts of the world.
So we got into this, I think, because it's European, because we got fascinated with the expansion of NATO, because Russophobia is something that we have sort of a reflex reaction towards. And so it all lined up, and so we kind of backed into this, like I said, backing into a cactus based on ideological theories and based on some historic Russophobia.
Sandy, we're here now, and it's real. The Joe Biden administration wants to continue to support, but they can't do it unilaterally.
Well, I mean, the problem is that, as like I said, the fact that we got here then puts us in a different fact situation than when I was discussing this preliminary to the invasion by Russia and the question about whether we should be promoting, for instance, Ukraine into NATO and doing some of the things that probably stimulated this conflict. Now we're there and Ukraine is there. And can we simply walk and turn our back on this? Well, we can't do that and do anything but lose the trust of all of the rest of the world in terms of watching the United States and how we behave. You know, there are as a middle road here. We can continue to provide support and we can push Ukraine in the direction of coming up with a peaceful solution to the war.
Well, you know, Sandy, that clearly is the way it should be, but the chances of us as a nation with the unrest in Congress doing that seems like a long shot.
Well, right we're now. So dysfunctional in this country that I'm not sure we are capable of having a discussion that relates to endgame. Because the dysfunction we have in Washington is one of the reasons for it is that the people in the fight don't have end games in mind. You know, the schism in the Republican caucus doesn't have an end game in mind. They're about theater and they're about making declarations and points, but they're not about accomplishing something. I just saw a video of a Republican senator speaking with frustration saying, "Tell me one thing I can go back to my constituents and tell them that we, the Republicans, have accomplished. Tell me one thing that we've accomplished."
Yeah, that's kind of saw that, and they couldn't respond.
No, and well, there was no response, but I think it's not because they couldn't. I think under the decorum, they couldn't. But there was nothing for them to respond with is the problem. And that's proof to me that there just isn't an end game here. It's all about the fight. And I'm afraid that, to some extent, our international affairs is all about the fight.
So when we come back, Sandy, I clearly want to delve deeper into that because based on what looks like the outcome that's going to wind up in Ukraine it's, and the stain that it's going to leave on the United States.
I think the reluctance to fund Ukraine is all about leverage, and I think that the Republicans who are resisting it are simply looking to get something in exchange. They're now talking about southern border, Mexican border activity and changes in policy with respect to the southern border. I'm not sure. I mean, you know, I think everything's on the table for everything. And so, you know, I get it. But we can't let that get in the way.
We'll be right back.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Flu, COVID-19, and RSV are on the rise in Wisconsin. State health officials are urging people to get vaccinated. The Department of Health Services says hospital admissions for flu and RSV nearly doubled this week from last week. COVID-19 hospitalizations are also up slightly this month. Fewer than 1 in 4 people in Wisconsin have had the flu shot so far, and only 9% have had this year's COVID booster. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Research shows even more people would be working in Wisconsin if it weren't for child care challenges.
The difficulty in finding child care translated into about 60,000 potential workers that weren't in the workforce because of that.
Workforce Development Chief Economist Dennis Winters. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. A Green Bay police officer who hit a suspect with his car will resign. Officer Matthew Knutson pleaded no contest to a misconduct charge for the 2021 incident where he ran his car into a fleeing suspect and then mocked him afterwards. The Green Bay Police Department says Knutson resigned after a meeting with GBPD Chief Chris Davis on Tuesday, November 14th. Farm equipment is at fault for a 4-acre fire on Thursday afternoon, so say authorities in Manitowoc County. Keel Fire and Rescue says they got a call to County Road X and Wilkie Lake Road after a cornfield caught fire in the town of Schleswig. Multiple crews showed up to assist, and it's a good thing, as the wind was spreading the fire rapidly. 4 total acres of field and woods were burned. No one was injured. Well, the really warm weather is gone, but much of northeast Wisconsin will see 50 today and sunny skies. This weekend, we should have slightly lower temperatures in the high 40s, but we'll still see lots of sun. And that's what you need to know. Pete Schwabe, WGBW News.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
College hoops tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Head coach Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team will be at home tonight in the Kohl Center, taking on a team from Pennsylvania, Robert Morris University. The Badgers now 1-2 for the season after losses to Tennessee and the other night at Providence. Also in Madison, Camp Randall busy today with the final WIAA State Football Championships, Divisions 1, 2, and 3, competing for the state tournament trophy. NFL, Packers host the Chargers on Sunday, the kickoff at noon. Green Bay will be wearing those green jerseys with gold numbers from the 1950s that have been so popular the past 3 years. After a slow start, Packers running back A.J. Dillon seems to be back to his old self, Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I think he's done a much better job in terms of running with better pad level, finishing forward, breaking tackles. Certainly, I think that's going to be a big key in this game. I think, you know, you look at the Chargers.
That's the Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies and calm today with a high of 44. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 30 tonight. Clear skies and quiet. Ample sunshine expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 51. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 31.
Mino and the Mayor.
Lisa Malik, Local 5 Live. Good morning.
Hi, so nice to be back with you again.
Nice to see you. How come you never have me on your co-host your TV show anymore?
If you guys think herding cats is like herding Mino for radio, you should try doing that for 4-minute segments for TV.
Her producer, go here and just, Lisa, for the love of God, control him this segment.
Mino and the Mayor.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8.
On the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, I just think that we need to give just a little more pause to what is looks like is going to happen in Ukraine and the impact of it. If you look at Iraq,
Afghanistan,
and what the outcomes of those things were for, 16 and 20 years. And people can say we weren't at war in Ukraine. But I think the American people just don't have an appetite for these kinds of things anymore.
Well, I don't know if they don't have an appetite or whether the stridency of the polarized partisanship in Washington is such that if there's a lever, they will pull it, kind of a thing. And so I think the lever here is that Biden has gotten out in front of the Ukraine, and it's there's been enough of a divide created between Republicans and Democrats on the Ukrainian issue, that the Ukrainian support issue, that strident Republicans now say, you know, he's got to have this Ukrainian, you know, the United States basically has to continue providing aid to Ukraine. But if we put a roadblock in the way, we can get something for it. You know, this is a trading chit, okay? This is what we used to not allow to happen in our foreign affairs, to allow foreign affairs to become trading chits in politics, because it makes our foreign affairs very unreliable, right? If every one of our international positions is really just a chit that's going to be traded in domestic politics, then we aren't going to be a very reliable partner, a very reliable negotiator. And it will lose us diplomatic capacity. And so that's what's happening right now. And the danger with respect to a sort of a willy-nilly approach to, number one, backing into the Ukrainian situation without a unified position, and now showing a lack of unity on it in an important environment where there is a major conflict ongoing. And the reason for that conflict, at least the reason for its persisting duration, has been U.S. support of Ukraine. So if we pull the plug on Ukraine abruptly, it's apparent what the outcome of that will be. And so, in order for us to be viewed as a reliable international partner, it's important that we have a constructive approach to this. If it's going to be ultimately pulling in our horns, then it needs to be done constructively. And I think the Biden administration's approach to saying, look, we want some funding. Now, they've asked for $60 billion. What's the right number? I don't know. But enough money to make sure that it stretches out into the future long enough so that Russia will look at it and realize that they are subject to a long duration of time of Ukraine being able to resist them, such that they maybe need to go to the negotiating table. Because what we need to promote here is a negotiated settlement.
So, Sandy, that's not something Ukraine was willing to even accept at any given point in time. Without the financial support from the United States, they certainly don't have any other choice in that matter, do they?
Well, and certainly, you know, there's back channels. And you know, Ukraine probably and the United States probably should have had a constructive conversation to indicate that the level of U.S. support would be finite, okay, that there is a finite commitment here. And that's the difference between a critical issue, a real politic position, and something else. If this was a critically important, critical to national security of the United States, our willingness to support it would be infinite, okay? But I don't think our willingness is infinite. I don't think the Biden administration's willingness is actually infinite. And I don't think Congress's appetite is infinite, which tells me that we made the wrong decision up front about how we constructed the environment that related to Ukraine. And one of the ways that it was constructed was this notion that Ukraine would be invited into NATO, even though we knew that Germany, for instance, would veto that.
You know, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I'm interested, Sandy, in the thoughts of our listeners. because I remember early on in, you know, this invasion, the news media was showing. They were interviewing Ukrainian people. They were showing, you know, the destruction of Ukraine and Donbass and all of those things, and we could see those things with our eyes. Once they stopped showing all of those things and it became a back burner issue, people who they used to call the show and say, hey, we had to do this. We had to get involved. Remember?
Sure.
Now you can't even get an opinion from many people who believed early on this was the right thing to do because innocent people were being killed. How much of this, Sandy, is the fact that the media and the role it plays? Because the media hasn't shown much of this because it, you know, people are still being killed. The war is still going on, right?
Well, it's interesting the way media covers war today. You know, without war correspondents who can talk about military casualties and military targets and the extent to which military targets are involved, we end up with news coverage that only relates to collateral damage issues in warfare. So that in Gaza, in Israel, we only hear about civilian deaths. And in Ukraine, the main headlines we see are, again, civilian deaths. And the issue really is whether the number of civilian deaths is disproportionate to the level of conflict and the level of strategic military battles that are ongoing. The Geneva Convention recognizes the potential for this a very unfortunate effect of collateral damage, and basically it has to do with the proportionality of the collateral damage to the military targets and the military advantage being pursued. We never hear about that side of it, okay? And so what we get is we get fanned, the flames of our passions are fanned by the news of collateral damage. And, you know, I think we should understand about collateral. War is a terrible thing, and it is going to kill civilians. And the question then becomes more proportionality. And you know, I think that was what fanned the flames of our interest in Ukraine. And now we're not hearing much about it because Ukraine has basically become a battle at a front where there are military casualties and not so many civilians.
You know, Sandy, last thing I want to say on this is the American people, we're so fortunate, right? You always talk about the ocean separating us, and we don't have fear. We don't have to live with what people are living with all over the world. And we're, you know, we're fortunate. We're blessed.
Yeah, we have.
And so we don't have to think about
the biggest moats ever built to protect our castle were the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans, which are basically unpassable. You know, I mean, you know, the Pearl Harbor, incidentally, was an attack in the middle of the Pacific. It was thousands of miles away from the American coastline.
So anyway, I just think that it's as we, you know, start coming to a point where we know Ukraine is going to be an afterthought until Russia does what it's going to do.
Well, I think the segue, that, however, about Ukraine is Mitch McConnell. Okay, Mitch McConnell is backing the Biden request for support for Ukraine. His main argument is that we need to protect democracy and that Ukraine is a sovereign country and a democracy and it's under attack by Russia and needs to be defended. And my only point about that is that I know another democracy that's under attack, and it's ours, okay? And we aren't being attacked by foreign powers. We're being attacked from within. And the very principles of our democracy are under assault in such a way that we could invidiously lose what we've got. Without the fanfare of bloodshed, without the fanfare of bombing, it will be self-inflicted wounds. And we need to wake up to it. And Mitch McConnell needs to wake up to it as well, because the party that he plays an instrumental leadership role in is playing a big part in this by passively allowing Donald Trump to champion Viktor Orban and Erdogan and Putin and Duterte. And he has, over his time, championed every strongman leader in the world. And I think it's because those people